Welcome to Sports Day Cowboys, a podcast all about the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by the Dallas Morning News. I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm Michael Gelkin. We're two Cowboys beat writers having a weekly real talk conversation about the latest with the team, including interviews, analysis, and debate. Thanks for being with us.
After the Cowboys knocked off the Commanders, this Sunday they got the defending Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams in L.A. Lots to talk about. The defense has been outstanding. Trayvon Diggs, oh my goodness.
In this show, Michael Gallup is back. It's time for people to give Mike McCarthy some credit. And when is Turpin time?
And we'll speak with special guest Tad Prescott, the brother of Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
Stay with us.
Let's start the Sports Day Cowboys podcast talking about this offense and the return of Mr. Michael Gallup. I thought he was sensational against the Commanders.
No doubt. I think the Cowboys were thrilled, not necessarily surprised, because they saw it in practices leading up to his strong performance against the Commanders. But man, the two catches, one of them a 15-yarder on third down, they had to have it. And then at the end of that same drive, a 9-yard touchdown, back of the end zone, scramble drill, something the Cowboys have practiced a lot over the years, and Cooper Rush was a perfect ball to Gallup, who knows where to be at the back of the end zone. And the celebration that followed. Then he had two pass interference penalties he drew, totaling 65 yards. All that 9 months removed to the day of that torn ACL, MCL that he suffered January 2nd against the Arizona Cardinals. You know who was impressed with that performance? You mentioned Tad Prescott, his brother, Dak Prescott. I spoke with him in the locker room after the game.
MG getting back out there, what was it like for you to see what he was saying?
Honestly, I mean, what I expected. I mean, I've seen the guy rehabbing over the past few months and just knowing what he puts into this, how much this cares. And then seeing, as I said, the last few weeks at practice, knowing that he was going to go out there and be the same MG he's always been. And just for him to go out there and to put it to fruition, having the touchdown, drawing the penalties, I think it's huge for him. I think it's huge for his confidence. And just honestly, probably he might would tell you, I don't know, but I bet that buried the injury for him.
No doubt. How much does that speak to the process inside the building? If he had the surgery here, working with Britt for months, he could come out there, 40 snaps, get a touchdown, give a jolt to the team, despite missing all that time that he had missed.
Yeah, I mean, that's trusting in what you have and trusting in the people around you, trusting this organization that obviously a guy like Britt, who's earned every single one of our trust, no matter what our injury is, knowing that he's going to do what's best for us to get us back in the right amount of time, but not only just back, but healthy and confident in our ability. And I think Michael's just his injury, his rehab, and him going out there and having a game like that is the epitome of trusting in the people around you and what you're told.
It's a pretty popular game people like to play, trying to guess when you're coming back.
Keep guessing, keep playing.
One of the great things about Dak Prescott and this Cowboys team is that they all love each other. They're all together, you know. One guy goes down, yeah, it's a cliche to say the next man up, but they really root for each other. And Dak was like one of the first guys to hug Gallup when he got to the sidelines and that kind of thing. But you know who's at the point person in all this, Michael? Is your boy, Mike McCarthy. And you had wrote a story about resiliency with the Cowboys about 2 weeks ago. And let's talk about that and how it's really manifested itself.
It has. And before the Cowboys season even began, the Wednesday of the week leading up to the Buccaneers game, he presented the team their theme for the season. It's something you see on t-shirts, it's something you see on walls. It's resilience. That's the theme for this 2022 Cowboys season. And he made a pretty dynamic four-part presentation. He talked about, be the buffalo that charged the storm, not the cattle.
Buffalo.
Not the cattle that run away from it. Because if you charge it, you'll get through it a lot faster than if the adversity, rather than if you were just to kind of try to evade it. Likewise, he talked about tattoos, he talked about sacred wounds, and then he talked about something called kintsugi, which is this Japanese pottery technique that dates back centuries. And basically, you know, cracks are going to happen in your season, cracks are going to happen in your life, but you have to respond to them, you have to embrace them, you have to fill them up with gold. And so he says all this to the team. Days later, they lose Dak Prescott with a fractured thumb. As you heard Dak in the audio, you know, he's you know, not making any promises as to when it will be that he returns from that injury. And then other injuries as well. They lost three other players, including two starters, to multi-week injuries against the Buccaneers. A lot of people thought you know, maybe their season's over when you hear that Dak Prescott needs to have surgery, but you know, they have embraced their cracks with Cooper Rush, with Tyler Smith taking over, Tyron Smith there at left tackle. The Cowboys have been resilient, and it's a credit to a lot of people, including their head coach.
Jerry Jones has said after that game against the Commanders that he wanted to give Mike McCarthy his due, because Mike McCarthy definitely deserves a lot of credit. And you know what? This weekend, they got the Rams. And the last time we were in Los Angeles, your boy Kevontae Turpin returned a kickoff and a punt return for a touchdown. Now, yes, it was in a preseason game, so let's slow down before we put Mr. Turpin in the Hall of Fame. But we need Turpin time to happen again, because he's had maybe two or three good returns in the first month of the season.
He's close, and I think it's almost problematic how close he is, because he entered Sunday's game leading the NFL with more than 16 yards per punt return. His past three punt return attempts were all 14 yards or more, which is impressive when you consider last year the Cowboys had six such punt returns the entire season. He had three straight 14 or longer. But then first quarter, you see him get his first chance. It goes over his head, and he doesn't get away from it. And then there's another where he maybe forced something that wasn't there and ended up losing 3 yards. He's no longer first in the NFL in punt return yardage. He's tied with Kyle Phillips, the rookie from the Titans. He's fourth overall at 12.4 yards per punt return. I think pressing and knowing that it can happen, knowing that it should happen, but not forcing it to happen, that's going to be the key for him. He's a rookie. He's an older rookie, but he's got to work through some of these types of things to be the elite returner that the Cowboys know he can be and probably already is.
Whenever the Cowboys go to L.A. to play the Rams or the Chargers, it's where the stadium is located in Inglewood. It's near where Jerry Jones was born and raised briefly before moving to Arkansas. The reason why the Rams are in Los Angeles is because of Jerry Jones and his relationship with Stan Kroenke. And the Rams starting quarterback is from Highland Park and Matthew Stafford. So this is a big game because Michael and I, we talked about this before we started taping our podcast about all the stars in this game. But after seeing the Rams get demolished by the 49ers, I don't know how many stars the Rams have left.
Yeah, they're stars, but you got to be able to kind of reach them and tap into them. And Cooper Kupp is phenomenal. I think the Cowboys are going to have their hands full with all the option choice routes that he runs, and Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Bobby Wagner. I'm probably missing a few dozen
more. Wagner, he's beating up spectators and running on the field.
My wife, this is probably off topic, she has this dream where she wants a NFL player to tackle her. It's like something that she's talked about. And I said, that's not something I can arrange for you. It's kind of on your own on this. But she saw that where a fan got tackled by Bobby Wagner. And she said, well, maybe that's my way to get tackled. I'm like, yeah, I guess if you really want to feel what it's like to get tackled by a football player, just go ahead and rush a field. The Cowboys don't need to rush any fields. Bobby Wagner is going to hit them. They've got a lot of really quality football players. And the Cowboys, you can go down their list of stars too, between Micah Parsons and Zach Martin. Maybe you want to put CeeDee Lamb in that conversation. Trayvon Diggs, who has two straight games with an interception. They have some star power there too.
You know what, Michael? Let's talk to another up-and-coming star, an aspiring journalist whose brother just so happens to be QB1. Tad Prescott is our guest, coming up next. Today's guest has his own podcast, You Don't Know Me Yet, Talking Football with Tad Prescott. And he knows a little something about journalism, I think. He's studying Converge Broadcast Media at the University of North Texas. He's Louisiana born and bred, and he's the brother of Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. Hi, Tad.
What's going on, Calvin? Man, I like that. That had me hyped. I was like, I'm ready to go now.
Oh, you ready? Oh, that's good. Say hi, Michael.
Hi, Tad.
So, guys, thank y'all for having me.
No problem. One of the things I've always wanted to ask you and other people in your lane is, how many times does somebody come up to you and say, hey, you know, can I get a signed autograph jersey? Can I get a ball? Hey, my cousin's got a business. Can you hit me over $60,000 from your brother? My sister needs a boyfriend. You know, give me the average about how much that happens to you.
guys that are close to me pretty much know not to ask me for stuff. I've been somebody that hadn't asked for autographs going all the way back to his Mississippi State days, just because he gets enough of it that there doesn't need to be, you know, somebody as close as me bringing it to him. So as in person requests, I don't get a lot of it. Now, as far as my DM, man, I got two maybe a day. And it goes anywhere from, Tad, I'll be in Dallas for the game. Can you get Dak to meet me inside this? To, hey, can you get Dak to FaceTime my mom for her birthday? To, if I send you a jersey, can you get it signed and sent back? So as far as my DMs, man, I get maybe two a day.
How about more broadly, Tad, where Dak is just such a scrutinized player. He's, you know, as quarterback of any franchise, but certainly the Dallas Cowboys. What's it like, because you guys are so close as brothers, what's it like for you to be the brother in that respect of just him being so talked about and scrutinized in that way?
Yeah, man, one of the things, our late mother helped me a lot with that because, like I said, when I was playing ball, I played defense. Our other brother, Jason, on the offensive line, and our mom used to badmouth our quarterback so badly at the time. Like, she just couldn't stand him and would talk so bad about him. And then, of course, when Dak got into that same light, you know, she realized, you know, she would have to reflect on how bad she used to talk about him and bring it in and then understand. So, you know, it was really hard for me, especially when he became a Cowboy, just because, man, I love this team and I love this fan base. But this fan base, like, I get it now when some people say this fan base is toxic. Like, you hear people say, oh, they would never say that to your face. But in some regards, it's like, you should never say that to begin with. So, you know, but I've gotten to a point where, like, you know, everybody's a fan. Everybody has their own opinion, including myself. So as long as they're not attacking my brother personally, you know, I just kind of roll with the punches. I actually set some guys up the other day in class. I had my own little experiment with it. They were both, I could tell they're both Cowboy fans. It was Tuesday, of course. So I was like, you know, great win last night, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, yeah, you know. And I was like, so is there a QB controversy in Dallas? And one of them's like, oh, you know, I don't think so. You know, Rush is good, but Dak's this man. And the other one's like, yeah, I think Dak's overrated. And they just kind of keep talking. And eventually the teacher was like, how was everybody's weekend? And I was like, oh, mine was good. The Cowboys won. And she's like, oh, does your week depend on how well the Cowboys play? I was like, you know, my brother's their quarterback, so it has a little bit. And I've never seen two guys run out of class so fast in my life to where last Thursday they both kind of stopped me and was like, hey, there's not a controversy. And same thing, I had to explain to them that it's all in fun. I truly care about their opinions. Like I said, when it's just talking football, I'm all for it. We can talk all day. But like I said, when they go outside of football and then, you know, you want to start questioning my brother or his character, especially for somebody who doesn't know him, that's when I get defensive. If we're just talking ball, it's all fun.
Tell me about the journalism, you know, because you have a great attitude, you know, because Michael asked a great question about how do you handle people. So as a journalist, we have to be neutral, you know. We don't have favorite teams, wink, wink. And, you know, we get along with the players, wink, wink. But how do you balance that about, I want to be a journalist and I have my brother over here?
Same way. So the same way I just mentioned, because again, especially when it comes to when I do talk about the Cowboys, a lot of those guys I'm close friends with. I mean, like I said, I'm close friends with Zeke. I'm close friends with CD. I'm close friends with MG. So when I do speak about them, I try to make sure that I keep it as in a football sense. You know, what we do in our personal time, what we do as friends, is not anybody's outside business. The conversations that we have when it's that kind of conversation, same thing. But, you know, the hardest thing for me when it gets into the journalism, especially my podcast, is making sure that people understand that this is my voice, that these are my opinions. You know, I get so much that people think that what I'm saying may have come from Dak or maybe from somewhere else or a conversation that I heard, but it's not. Like I said, I'm probably my brother's biggest critics. Like I said, you guys will probably never see it, but Dak and I argue all the time about maybe his gameplay or maybe a teammate or something. So like I said, he's the biggest, he defends those guys with everything in him. So if every now and so we're just having a conversation and I bring up a player or something that I didn't agree with or whatever, oh, Dak's the first person to let me know why I'm wrong. And then again, I keep that to myself. I'm still going to go to my podcast and express my opinion, but I'm not going to go, well, you know, Dak said that I was wrong because of this, because again, that's the personal part of it. That's where that stays in house.
I think one of the most valuable parts for you as you'll grow into becoming a journalist and get your degree and everything else in terms of applying that degree into the field is that you have a firsthand appreciation for the fact that athletes, above all, are people. And that as a backbone is essential to being, I think, a quality journalist, is to not lose sight of the fact that we're talking about people. And when you're interacting with athletes, you're talking to people. It's their job. It's their passion, of course. But ultimately, they're a person. How much do you think that part of your experience with your brother and some of the teammates and all that will make you a better journalist?
I mean, I hope it does, because just like you said, it's the facts. Like, I don't care about the clickbait. You know, I hope I'm never a clickbait person. I hope people don't click on me just to be like, oh, he's starting shit, because, excuse my language, because that's never anything I want to do. Like, I want to be somebody that's just going to give you my true opinion on it. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about it. And then, like you said, at the end of the day, I understand that these guys are people. So when it comes to the football aspect, when maybe I can get one of them on the show, when we sit down and we talk about just the football, you know, that's just how it is, that I see them at that point as a football player, and I can separate the football aspect to where I can give you the true journalism side. But at the same time, I may maybe to get something out of him that he'll allow me to say more publicly, because we are friends.
Why broadcast? Tell me why. Where's the source of this coming from? Why do you say, I want to be, we made a joke before we started, the next Brian Gumbel, but you know, tell me the source of this, and why you want to get into journalism.
Man, I've always been somebody that, you know, I had so many, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, you know, they all kind of always revolved around sports. You know, my first passion, of course, was football. I still consider myself an athlete. And, you know, once that lane was kind of, you know, lost, then it got to, oh, well, what am I going to be, to a point where I just got to a situation where I just had to provide for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, so I went to work for National Vision for, you know, 13, 14 years, which I loved that job. And then, after, of course, the passing of our brother Jace, you know, Dak and I just sat down and we had a real, you know, deep conversation of what was next, you know, what was going to do. Of course, he wanted me to leave my job that I was out and move to Dallas and all this. So it was like, you know, and that's when he told me, he's like, bro, you know, now is the opportunity to find something that you love. He's like, you know, the deal had gotten done, everything like that. He was like, you know, we don't need to worry about money, anything or anything. I want you to find your happiness, you know. And of course, the happiness aspect was a big part of it, because we had just lost our brother. I wasn't happy, you know. So then I sat down and I got to think, you know, what do I want to do? You know, would I want to be a sports agent? Would I want to be this, and would I want to do that? And then the more I sat down and thought about it, I just had to start getting outside perspectives. Like, my aunt and my uncle, who had been in my life forever, I mean, for the last 10 years, catch me talking football, and they're like, bro, you need to be on TV doing this, you know. Or I'll sit down with just random friends, and other people outside will just jump in the conversation and be like, why are you not putting this out there? So then it just finally, like, slapped me in the face when somebody else came to me and was like, hey, man, I want to start a podcast with you. I've been listening to you talk for the last 3 years representing your brother, and I listen to the way you talk about football, and not only are you a fan, but you know what you're talking about. And it just hit me like, bro, like, this is what I need to do. It keeps me involved in all aspects of not just football, but sports. And again, who else, you know, what kind of joy you guys must have to get paid to talk about something you love, you know? Like, I'm not going and trying to sell eyeglasses anymore. I get to tell you guys why I think Baker Mayfield's going to be on a different team next year, or why I think this is going on here. So, you know, it just kind of hit me in my face. And then I've always been told I'm so pretty, I need to be on TV. I felt like that was a leg up as well, you know?
You know, it's funny, me and Michael, we go to games every week, and I have to pinch myself and say, someone is paying me to cover a football game. You know what I'm saying? Michael,
exactly.
I don't know if you feel that way, Michael.
Yes.
Or not, you know?
Oh, for sure. I think I enjoy the locker room of just getting to talk to guys and getting to tell their stories and getting to build rapport and hopefully their trust. And I enjoy that part of it. It's just the people side of it. But I love the game, and it's fun to be at a stadium, especially if you're at a Super Bowl. You walk into the stadium and you look. Sometimes I like to do this where I like to see the fans walk onto the concourse, and they just kind of look at each other like, we're really here. And that excitement, it's good to tap into that as a sports writer, not lose sight of that excitement.
Yeah, and like you said, it's the stories, especially like you said with that rapport that you can, because again, these guys are people. So it's all cool to talk about the stats. It's all cool to talk about the numbers and success on the field. But, you know, when you do got that rare opportunity where you can discuss something off the field, and these guys may give you an insight into their upbringing or even what they're doing now, I mean, that's when it becomes special, because that's what the fans want. We don't want to see these guys as just these figureheads of these teams we love. We want to see them as people that we can relate to, and that people that when we see them, we can say hello and they'll say what's up back, you know?
Chad, you talked earlier about Dak, the conversation he had with you after he signed his deal, and just talking about what your passion was and pursuing a career. I did a story on him at the very start of the season, and it was one of my favorite stories I've done because I got to talk to all different types of people about Dak within the organization and just could tell what he means to so many and how everyone, every player, every coach, offense, defense, doesn't matter, view your brother as the leader of the team. He's your younger brother, but when a guy is that much of a leader, is he kind of like the leader? Does he feel like the older brother sometimes? Like, is he kind of like the leader in the family at times? Like, how is he at home in that respect?
No, now that's crazy you put it, because no, like when you said that, I immediately went to a no. Now, he is my little brother, and I tell people this all the time that I find it crazy that I do admire and look up to my little brother at times. I mean, always, like I said, his accomplishments, everything that he's been able to do in his life, it's kind of hard not to admire and look up to somebody like that. But no, I mean, as a family unit, you know, he's still my little brother. And I still view him like that in every aspect of the way, which is where the protection comes in. You know, the conversations that we have, you know, he never tries to talk to me or belittle me or put me in a situation to even feel like, you know, I'm the guy that this and you're now this. It's you know, he still comes to his big brother for advice, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, and that's on the personal aspect. When it comes to, you know, financial, all that good stuff, he has a phenomenal team that helps him on that end. But when it comes to life and just our conversations, you know, it's still a little brother talking to a big brother and vice versa.
I like the fact how if he has a bad game, you jump his behind. I kind of love that because – we do that professionally, and I'm glad you're not like, oh, it's okay, Dak, it's okay, and you're getting on him. I love that.
Because, one, he's his biggest critic. Mm-hmm. You know, I say I'm his biggest critic, but he's his biggest critic, you know. So he'll tell you when something was pissed off. Now, the thing with Dak is that he's so competitive that if it's something that he's already harping on that he may have messed up and then I bring it up, that's where we mm-hmm. fight. That's where the argument will come in, like, bro, you don't think I know, you don't think, and I'm like, well, then why didn't you see that? You know, that's where it comes in, like, because he's such a perfectionist when it comes to him being on that field, and he works so hard. But, no, I mean, like I said, man, if you guys would have gotten the privilege to meet our mother, like she was by far, like, if Dak threw an interception, oh, he was going to hear about it until the next game. If Dak dropped a ball or fumbled or missed anything, she was not going to let him make it by any means necessary. So, I mean, you know, I mean, you got to have, especially as the big brother, you know, I've always critiqued him. You know, he's always said that he's looked up to Jason and I for, you know, to model his game and how he's played. So it's always been a time where he comes off the field that, hey, bro, what was this? What was that? Good job on this. Good job on that. So, yeah, you can't just always give him his roses. You know, that's what, like I said, when he's playing good, that's what you guys will do. When he's playing good, I'm still the one that's going to be like, yeah, but you may have gotten better on that, you know?
All right. The journalist in me is going to ask you, what's up with my boy's thumb? You know, he's got a broken thumb, swelling. Mm-hmm. You saw the doctor Tuesday. What's the deal? I don't think he's playing until Philly. That's me.
To be perfectly honest with you, like I said, the he's good. Again, like I said, he always has like these weird ways of letting me know he's good. I remember, like I said, just taking you back to A&M. He had messed up his shoulder playing the Texas A&M game. You know, so it was real stiff. It was bother him and everything. And then, you know, again, as his big brother, I'm the protector, so I'm always cautious with him. And I remember going there and, like, he went to shake my hand with the hand. I kind of grabbed it gently and he threw my arm, like, nah, bro, like, my shoulder's good. And I got the same thing out of him yesterday. Like I said, I've been, you know, giving him a little fist bump, you know, a hug and, you know, whatever. And yesterday I went to the house to see him. You know, he comes out with his hand like mm-hmm. this. But I immediately, you know, went to close my hand and I can shake your mm-hmm. hand now. I can grab you, you know, so. You know, he's doing everything the right way. Like I said, it's a week-by-week thing. I know the Cowboys want to be, you know, reading what I was reading today, I know the Cowboys, you know, want to be patient with him. And, I mean, at this point, there's no reason not to be patient right. with him. So if he doesn't play until Philly, I'm good with that. If he plays this week, I'm good with that, you know. But, as a big brother, you listen to Russell Wilson, who sustained the same injury last year, who rushed it back and said, you know, that it put a little bit on him. You know, he thought he came back too early. And, you know, for maybe whatever that reason, that's still hindering on him now. So, you know, when it comes to that, like I said, right now the team's playing well enough. Rush has them at 3-1. The defense is playing phenomenal, hadn't allowed more than 17 points in a game. Get perfectly healthy and then come back, you know. So whenever he decides to come back, whenever the Cowboys decide for him to come back, I'm all with it. But I can tell you right now, he's ready to play now. Like, it's killing him sitting on that sideline.
Tad, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And best of luck as you pursue journalism. Let us know if there's anything we can do on our end. But yeah, it's great to chat with you today.
Man, appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Pat, take it easy. Coming up next, can the Cowboys win the NFC East? Michael and I see it differently.
Imagine that. I disagree is next.
Hey, listeners. This is Damon Marks. I'm the Cowboys editor for the Dallas Morning News. That includes the Sports Day Cowboys podcast that you're listening to right now. What I love about this beat is the nonstop news cycle that is the Dallas Cowboys. But beyond that daily adrenaline rush, being able to reveal the human side of the players you watch on TV is a privilege. Calvin and Michael talk to these players each week to bring you the behind-the-scenes stories that you can't get anywhere else. If you want to support this good work, it's easy. Just subscribe to the Dallas Morning News and become a member. You'll find a special offer just for listeners at dallasnews.com/listen.
Welcome back to Sports Day, Cowboys. Calvin, I look at this 3-1 Dallas team, team that can still gear toward getting healthy and getting better down the stretch. And I believe the Cowboys are capable of winning the NFC East this year.
On Madden or where? Because I disagree, because at the start of the season, I had the Cowboys winning 9 games, and that was with Dak Prescott playing a full 17-game schedule. And now it seems that Prescott might miss at least 4 games, maybe 5, with a broken thumb that people think is going to be amputated tomorrow or something. So the Cowboys are a 9-win team. Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, I don't know what he's doing sometimes. Sometimes the run game is good. Sometimes the run game is bad. Sometimes he wants to pass the ball all over the field. He's a disaster waiting to happen. Tony Pollard, he's been so inconsistent in the first month of the season. Cooper Rush, who I think is a nice, good quarterback. I'm being very measured in what I'm saying here. And Mike McCarthy said he's not a game manager. I can't really tell because you're being conservative. Cowboys are a 9-win team. The offensive line has got all kinds of issues. They're not winning this division. Have you seen the Eagles, Michael? Do you have a television set at home?
I do. Look, I said they have a chance to win the NFC East. You're saying the Eagles, you're crowning the Eagles going into week 5. Is that that's correct? You're saying they don't have a chance. The Cowboys don't have a chance.
I'm putting a crown on my head right now as we speak. I'm putting a crown on my head because I said it at the beginning of the year, the Eagles are going to win the division. So why would
well,
I
if you said
my
it, I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even know. We got to get Tad back here and ask him why his brother even worrying about getting back from the thumb injury and getting back on the field. Because Calvin's got you all winning 9 games. And if he's got you winning 9 games, you're going to win 9 games. Did you have him 3-1 at this point? Or are you going to add one to your total? Are they on track for 10 games now? Did you have them 2-2? Is something wrong with the Calvin Watkins formula for how games are going to go?
Bro, I probably had him 0-2 after I had him probably losing to Tampa and Cincinnati. It didn't really matter. Okay. They were going to win 9 games. I mean, because remember, the first few games of the season, on paper, we were like, wow, they have a chance to be 0-2 because they were playing Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, who has never lost to the Cowboys and still hasn't. Then, you know, we were hyping up your boy, Joey Burrow, and Cincinnati, but maybe the Bengals are a fraud, you know, because most teams that lose the Super Bowl, they go downhill from there. And the Eagles are just thriving.
They are. The Eagles are. They look fantastic.
They do.
I will say. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. But I think this is a point that's worth considering as we argue and pull each other's hair. The
you got hair.
Eagles, I believe, wouldn't be able to mitigate an injury to their starting quarterback for 3+ weeks the way that the Cowboys have been able to do that and weather this storm. I think Jalen Hurts means a whole lot to that offense, and they don't have someone like Cooper Rush who can step in there and run that system the way that, you know, the Cowboys have adapted their system to make Cooper Rush thrive and Cooper Rush to you know, they haven't had to adapt too much because of his maturity and understanding within this offense. But you're saying that it's over, and I'm just saying if Jalen Hurts, you know, heaven forbid, was to fracture his thumb and miss a few games or so, I don't think they're winning their next 3 going into a game like this that the Cowboys are going into the Rams. So anything can happen. It's really early in the season. It's really early to be crowning anybody division champion. Yeah, the Eagles look
early.
Great. Yeah, it's early.
Okay, check this out. I don't know who you work for, but the people I'll say it. They asked us to make these predictions at the start of the year, right? They go, predict the division, right, of every division in the NFC and AFC before a game has even started. In fact, in the spring, when the schedule comes out, these editors ask us to predict every game in the Cowboys schedule. And then they ask us to do it a second time when we do our football section preview. So you're here to tell me that it's too early to make predictions about who's going to win the division? Are you crazy? The Eagles are going to win this division. I said it before the season started. And after a month of the season, they're the only undefeated team in the National Football League. So I'm not going to back down from that. Why would I? Yes, I agree with you that if Jalen Hurts goes down, the Eagles are in a world of trouble. But I do like the Eagles' defense. You know, I'm not saying it's better than the Cowboys' defense, but it's going to be very interesting to see how these defenses match up in about, was it 2 weeks, whenever we go to the link. So I will agree with you that if we lose Hurts, they're in trouble.
Look, the Cowboys have problems that they need to work through. I think the defense, you look at the way that they're playing right now, and they can only, you know, I don't think they're at their ceiling yet, which is, you know, this has the potential to be a special defense. I forgot to mention DeMarcus Lawrence earlier is one of the stars the Cowboys have. He's playing at an extremely high level.
He's going to call your house and tackle you. Better mention DeMarcus.
My wife will be thrilled about that. Yeah. she'll be very jealous, actually. So, you know, the defense is what it is. And then offensively, they are not anywhere near where they can or should be. They had six run plays of negative yardage, five of them in the second half, all of them on first down against the Commanders. They've got to be better with the run game. I think it's probably the most problematic element of this team right now is just the need for a consistent run game and how that need is not being met. But you're talking about predictions, how – and you're confusing predictions with promises. I'm not asking who's your prediction for who's going to be NFC East champion. I'm saying the Cowboys have a chance to be there at the end of the year, and you're saying there's no chance. You're making a promise that the Eagles are the NFC East champion. I disagree vehemently. It's a long way to go until the end of the season. A lot of things can happen, including anything related to Hurts, who takes a lot of quarterback hits, probably needs to protect himself a little bit better to make sure that he's there for this whole stretch run. So, yeah, the Cowboys have a chance at winning this division. They could go two straight, which is something that hasn't been done for a very, very long time.
I don't have a dictionary in front of me, but is prediction and promise, is that the same thing? Is that
They're different? Yeah, that's the confusion. Yeah,
that's the confusion. So if I promise that the Eagles are going to win the division, that's different from me predicting that they're going to win the division. Is that right?
It's more that's so you predicting something is different than promising. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really can't promise that the Eagles are going to win the division because I'm not actually playing for the Eagles.
That's true. And so the Cowboys then thereby would have a chance.
They would have a chance.
But and I'm that does it. Thank you so much for everyone for joining us. What a joy as always, Calvin.
Yeah, it's a joy.
The show is produced by Damon Marks, and you can stay up to date on every episode by following Sports Day Cowboys wherever you get your audio, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find the show and more audio from our newsroom by following the Dallas Morning News in those same players.
Find links to everything we do at DallasNews.com. Listen. You'll also find a special membership offer there just for listeners. We also want to hear more from you, so email us your questions, comments, and voice memos at dmncowboys@dallasnews.com. You can also ping us directly on Twitter @DMN_Cowboys and on Facebook @CowboysFanCentral. For the news, I'm Calvin Watkins.
And I'm this week's winner. I'm Michael Gelkin. We'll see you next week.